Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive 10 Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It is an exciting day, I think, for NBA basketball fans. Regular season came to a close yesterday. It is a sad day if you're a Jazz fan. Season's over with, but I think you have plenty to look forward to in the offseason. And trust me, we have plenty of time to get into that. Big storyline right now, it is the play-in tournament, which will begin tomorrow evening. We get the Lakers and the Pelicans at 5:30, then we get the Warriors and the Kings at 8. We move over to the Eastern Conference on Wednesday, Heat at 76ers at 5, and then we get Atlanta and Chicago at 7:30. Couple of surprises as we start to gear up for the NBA playoffs, and we'll talk about that more right now with our guy, James Holas. He's joined us all season long, actually for the last 2 years, to talk NBA basketball, and now it's time for that postseason run once again. James, great to get you back on. I always look forward to the combo.
Yeah, man, it's a bittersweet thing. I actually have to be respectful and praise your Lakers, but we finally are done with the drudge of the regular season, and here come the playoffs.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, biggest surprise for me, the New York Knicks climb all the way to number two. That is a surprise for me. I know we had talked about a move that they made midseason that kind of changed the trajectory of this team, but James, I don't know too many people that would have predicted the New York Knicks jumping Milwaukee, jumping Cleveland, maybe even as recently as a month ago. That seemed kind of far-fetched.
Absolutely, man. Julius Randle went down, and I kind of stopped paying attention to the Knicks. I thought it was a case of, all right, well, good job, good effort. They're going to kind of start free-falling without their second-best player. And I didn't really pay attention, and they just kept on kind of winning and maintaining. And I knew that Brunson was awesome, but you got to really, like, watch to see how incredible he really is. It's like a metronome, man. He's consistent, and he's incredible. So, that was definitely a big surprise, man. The Knicks, you can't say enough about how Brunson has changed that whole culture and that whole mindset in that franchise.
Okay, now let me play devil's advocate here, because they climb up to number two, but if we look at the play-in tournament, right out of the gate, it's Philly and Miami. The winner of that game gets the 7 seed. If Joel Embiid is healthy, is it really a prize to grab Philadelphia in the first round as a 2 seed?
I mean, you got home court advantage. That helps, but like, I get it. This is what the play-in is all about, though, right? Because otherwise, we're not, you know, well, Philly was already in 7th, so they've been in the playoffs anyway, so that kind of makes it a moot point. But, Embiid is great. I think no one's questioning his talents. But let's be real. Like, the question about Embiid has never been his talent. It's about kind of like the heart and the will of this team. I love Tyrese Maxey. Embiid's great. They're surrounding players. If you kind of squint, they're a dynamic duo with a bunch of good role players around them. But I don't really trust Tobias Harris. Guy from Charlotte. What's his name? Batum. Batum's a nice player. Like, these are all really good players. It's just, if Embiid can't be MVP level Embiid, I mean, it's sometimes about heart and grit. And the Knicks have kind of blown through every expectation with just a lot of heart and grit. It sounds cliche. So, sure. If I was a betting man, I'd still take Philly. I wouldn't do it very comfortably.
I would take Philly. Yeah, I would take Philly in it. And then, let's say by whatever reason Miami was going to win, this is a team that went through the play-in round last year, got all the way to the NBA Finals. I have to hear about Heat culture an awful lot, and I'm not a big fan of that idea. Here's a team, though, that has proven that they're a tough out once they get to the postseason. I think that 7-8 matchup in the Eastern Conference might be the most intriguing for me if we look at the play-in round matchups.
Yeah, man. I guess my thing with Miami, 7-8, where it's, Sixers and Heat, man. That's tough. It's the Heat remind me of, like, the way you're talking about Wolverines and Badgers, right? You can get their foot caught in the trap, and they'll chew it off to get free, and they'll still keep fighting. And because they're not very talented this year, they've been very disjointed. A little bit opposite of Philly, right? Philly was definitely just injuries. Well, Miami has dealt with a lot of, like, death by a thousand cuts injuries, but Jimmy Butler hasn't looked quite the same. But we know, once they hit the playoffs, and my one thing, though, is they did it last year. What are the chances of that same lightning in a bottle happening twice? What are the chances of that one-in-a-million thing happening 2 years in a row, right? So I'd say this. If Miami advances, to the second, even just to the second round, let's just give Eric Spoelstra lifetime coach of the lifetime, eternally coach of the year, because that would be incredible.
I think looking at the play-in round, last year, while Miami got to the NBA Finals, it is important to mention the Lakers got to the Western Conference Finals. That was another play-in team. And so I think initially when the NBA announced this format, I didn't think much of it. Okay, in the bubble, it's going to give us a couple of... It's an opportunity for a couple of other teams to showcase their ability. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, nothing much is ever going to come out of it. But I think more so now than ever in the NBA, I think we are prone to seeing some really good teams or good teams, however you want to word that, making a little bit of a deeper run through the playoffs, because we've seen it more frequently over the last 5 years than we did the previous, 40 years, James. I mean, I remember when Denver knocked off Seattle in the opening round of the playoffs. It was 94, 95, somewhere around there, 93, somewhere in that time frame. It was a very big deal. We still see the video of Dikembe Mutombo underneath the basket, right? That was a big deal. It's not that rare anymore, and I don't know if that was the idea behind the play-in round. I don't know if load management plays a factor into it. I don't know if the league is more well-balanced, but we are seeing teams from that 7-8 spot make deeper runs.
I still think it's pretty rare. Other than Miami, maybe refresh my memory. Who else has done it in recent years, right? That's the reason. The number one seed, the two seed are normally just that much better than the others. Unless in a case like this year with Embiid, injuries, right? He was gone. They tanked. They looked like crap for a little bit without him, or could barely tread water. Now he's back. Putting a superstar back in the rotation on the seventh seed almost doesn't seem fair. The Heat, I think, were just we're going to look back as we get further and further from that Heat run, and we're going to just marvel at just the sheer randomness of it, right? There's no analog to that, right? That Heat run last year, they were bad all last year. And, this year I think they've been even worse, so I don't think they find it. But for sure, but it definitely does give credence to the saying, it's not about how you start, it's how you finish. The Warriors look like a lottery team for a good part of the first, maybe almost two-thirds of the season. And last third of the season, they've been one of the best teams in the league. It's all about rounding in the playoff form.
Okay, now about 2-3 weeks ago, I asked you who you would rather not see in the opening round as a Celtics fan, and one of the teams that you mentioned was Atlanta, and I know you were hesitant to say that. It wasn't as if you thought Atlanta would knock off the Celtics, but here's Atlanta in that 9-10 matchup with Chicago. Do you have any fear of any of these teams going up against your Celtics in the opening round?
No real fear. The Atlanta thing was just recency bias because the way they beat Boston twice back-to-back games.
Yeah.
But in the big scheme of things, Boston's going to have, a week and a half of rest. Really time to get into the granular game plans. Not really. Obviously, you got to respect Philly. You're talking about the 9-10? No, I'm looking right now, and I don't care about the Bulls. I don't care about Atlanta. If they go 6 with either one of those teams, then I'll be embarrassed, right? They should be over at 5 at the very least. So no fear of Atlanta. I mean, no fear of the Bulls. Atlanta at least has the variance in the three-point shooting, right? And Murray can be an explosive scorer. Let's see, him and Trae Young aren't really meshing again, right? They just, Trae Young's just back, so it's going to be a little reacclimation for both of them. So I'm not really worried about either one.
Okay, let's flip and go to the Western Conference. We get the Lakers, Pelicans tomorrow, 5:30. We get Golden State, Sacramento at 8. We'll start with the Lakers and the Pelicans. The Lakers take it to New Orleans just yesterday, and now those two teams have to play yet again. I think it is a bad matchup for New Orleans. We've seen this multiple times now this season where the Lakers really just had their way with the Pelicans. I think the Lakers are better than the 8 seed. It's kind of amazing when you go back and look at some of the mishaps that they had throughout the regular season. Kind of ridiculous that this team did not win 50 games. I think it is a bad draw for New Orleans. I know that the Pelicans are getting healthier. We saw Brandon Ingram back yesterday, but it's still not a great matchup for New Orleans. But then you have that other side of the coin where people would say it's not a great matchup for the Lakers if they win this game, because then they get Denver in the opening round. Your thoughts on this Laker-Pelicans matchup?
You're absolutely right, man. It's like the worst possible matchup for the Pelicans. The Pelicans are predicated on their long athletic wins, causing chaos on the perimeter and jumping into passing lanes and lockdown defense on guards and whoever the ball handling wing is. And that works for most guys, unless your ball handling wing is LeBron James, who's 6'8" and can control every facet of the game and is one of the best passers the league has ever seen. And that's what he did against the Pelicans. He just picked them apart. I think I heard he had 13 assists in the first half yesterday.
Yep.
Interior, like, Valanciunas is a nice guy. Zion is not stopping anybody inside. And so Anthony Davis can kind of go to work, and guys can back cut and attack the rim. And LeBron James is LeBron James. And last but not least, we saw LeBron James basically take, a lot like Draymond did, take Zion out the game. Because he's, you know, strong as him, almost strong as him, and doesn't have the same first step, but he's smart enough to, like, just kind of neutralize what Zion likes to do. So that's just, like, the worst of all worlds for the Pelicans.
I'm of a different mindset here. You and I have talked about this. If the Lakers were to win, they'd get the 7, which means they play Denver. Denver sweeps the Lakers last year in the Western Conference Finals. Outside of really one game, I think all of them kind of came down to the wire. They were hanging in the balance with about 4 or 5 minutes to go. But again, it's a bad matchup for the Lakers. Still, I'm of the mindset is, look, if that's the team that you view the biggest obstacle for you to come out of the West, bring them on early, man. I mean, seriously, I know that there's been commentary today with people suggesting that the Lakers should lose to New Orleans, and I am a believer you never intentionally lose a game. You just don't do that, especially when you would put yourself in one game, win or go home, essentially a game 7. I say take care of business against New Orleans on the road, which is going to be tough to do. Beating a team twice in what would it be 3 days on their home floor is definitely difficult to do. But James, if I'm LeBron and AD, after all the smack-talking that went on last year after the Nuggets won the NBA championship, a lot of heat directed towards the Lakers, I say bring them on early. Why not?
So I respect that mindset. If it was another team that had been kind of slow-rolling and you would think maybe they'd be at their best second round, any team, I understand that mindset, right? Just catch them early, get it out of the way. You got to play them regardless. Play them when you're the freshest. Play them even though you're not going to be really fresh because of playing games. And we know that Anthony Davis is always dinged up. So that's where you might as well. My thing with the Nuggets is they are the one team that we all talk about ceilings and floors. I feel like their floor is closest to their ceiling. Because even at their quote-unquote worst, Joker's going to find good offense. Even at their quote-unquote worst, they're going to generate good offense and they're going to just play smart. They're not going to really make mistakes. You got to beat them. And that's one thing that worries me about the Lakers going against Denver, that the Lakers don't have that same margin for error. And they do play kind of sloppy. And they do have times when, you know, D'Angelo Russell looked like an NBA player. And they do have times where their role players cough the ball up and make inexplicable mistakes. But that's where it comes down to execution. But, again, when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, take the shot.
Yeah, that's my thought. Yep, take the shot. The other play-in game will feature Sacramento and Golden State, and I can kind of lump this into the same category as, say, the Knicks. I think it would have been really a long shot about 3 weeks ago to suggest that the Sacramento Kings team, not that they wouldn't be in the play-in round because they were hovering around that 5-6-7 mark, but for them to be the 9 seed, that didn't seem really logical, James, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, injuries, man. They lost Kevin Huerter. And they lost Malik Monk, and I guess they're both going to be out for the rest of the playoffs. And that kills them. That hurts, right? That's two of their best shooters, and that their whole strength is predicated on speed and shooting. And you just lost two of their they lost their backup creator in Monk, and they lost two, you know, big time scorers for them, at least floor spacers for them, which opens up everything for Sabonis. So it's almost like, you know, what's the saying? It's all over except for the screaming. Like, I feel bad for the Kings after the great run last year and all the promise. They had a really up and down season, and now these injuries, I'm pretty sure that that's the nail in the coffin, right? If they somehow get out of this play-in and maybe are competitive in the first round, that's a win for them, I think. So, yeah, I think this is for the Warriors to take pretty much.
But being in that 10 spot, the Warriors have to beat the Kings, and they have to beat the loser of the Lakers and the Pelicans. Do you have faith that Golden State can win 2 games back-to-back? I think it's going to be difficult for them. I think they can. But I think depending on who that second-round matchup would be, it's tough sledding, man, to do that.
It's very tough sledding, but the Warriors have looked like a much more competent team. A lot like the Lakers, man. Something about the second half of the season after the All-Star break, they've really turned it on. Steph Curry seems like he's a little bit rejuvenated, even though he was dragging a little bit last few games. Klay Thompson has been great, you know, more than not recently, or at least very good. Not maybe great by his old standards, but still, he's been very good. Draymond has been defensively looked really engaged and locked in. So that's what it comes down to, man. Like, when you have those three guys and they can touch the caliber of play they used to, at least for stretches, it's going to be tough to beat. And as we saw with New Orleans, I think New Orleans gets a little frazzled. And they get a little bit frazzled sometimes.
Here's what I'm going to go with. I think out of the Eastern Conference, I think we get Philly as the 7. I think we get Miami as the 8. I think Philly will win that game with the Heat. They'll move on, and then I pick whoever you want, Chicago or Atlanta. I don't think either of those two teams will touch Miami. The Western Conference, to me, it gets a little bit different because, again, I know it's a bad matchup for the Pelicans, but beating a team twice in 3 days on their home floor, it's not easy to do. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I know that's not easy to do, James, and that's what the Lakers have in front of them. I like Golden State to beat Sacramento. I really don't know which two teams come out of the West.
I'm calling Lakers and Warriors, and not because, no disrespect to the Kings or the Pelicans, but the Pelicans have shown that maybe they're not quite ready for prime time. I think Zion, even though he's kind of refurbished his image a little bit, rehabbed his image a little bit, he still has his struggles. He got to get a consistent go-to mover, like a jumper or something, because we've seen when guys take away that initial first burst, he kind of gets lost. And then, again, just the injuries probably did the Kings in. They had some other stuff going on early in the season. I don't know exactly what it was, but, that's where I'm at.
So that would be Golden State and Oklahoma City. That would make the Lakers and the Nuggets. And then we agree in the East, right? It's going to be Philly and Miami.
Yeah, I think so. Now, in my dream matchup is that Chicago gets red hot, Orlando gets red hot, and they knock off one of those guys, right? That's my dream matchup, and we can kind of laugh at whoever gets knocked off early. But I think if it would be anybody, it'd be Miami. Miami really has been Jekyll and Hyde. But yes, I think the common thought is what you say.
I honestly don't think it matters in the Eastern Conference. Whoever gets that 8 seed, it's a 4-game sweep. I think Boston is that much better than anyone in the Eastern Conference. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with the statistics, but again, this is the only team to win 60 games. It's the only team that has a plus-minus differential of plus double digits. This is the best team in the NBA, and I don't think anyone is even close to them. I know you've been hesitant about that throughout the season, but let's just look. Boston, New York, 1-2 East, and then in the West, OKC, Denver, 1-2. I don't think it's out of the realm of possible that the 2 seed goes out in round 1 in the East and the 1 seed goes out in round 1 in the West. I don't think that's out of the question.
Definitely not out of the question. I think I'm a little bit higher on the Thunder than maybe some are, because so far they've passed every test with flying colors, and I get the youth and I get the LeBron factor, and I completely understand it, man. It's just – or who else would they play? It would be either the Lakers or who?
Well, the Thunder would get the winner of that second matchup, so it would either be Sacramento, Golden State, or the team that loses the 7-8 matchup. So a date with the Lakers seems a little bit, I don't know, that seems far-fetched to me. It's possible, but it seems far-fetched to me. I think it's Golden State is probably who they end up with.
Yeah, and Shea has been so good. I think this might be J-Dub, as they call him. This might be his breakout series where he really comes into his own because of his size and his mobility. I don't know if anybody in Golden State can really guard him. I guess maybe Kuminga. And who's going to guard Shea, right? So this will be interesting to see, man. But it's definitely one of the most entertaining first rounds. And for the Celtics, this might be their toughest series, their first round series in the East at least. So this is one of those playoffs where you can't really just say, okay, boom, that's it, you know, on to the second round. There's not a lot of that.
He's James Holas, always kind enough to join us on Monday as we break down the NBA scene. James, I know there's going to be plenty to talk about. By the time we get at it again next week, we're going to have playoff basketball to talk about. None of the play-in round stuff, none of the regular season. It's just going to be playoff basketball. It is the best time of the year to be an NBA fan. Before I let you go, where can we find more of you?
I'm excited, man. At Snotty Dripping on the X, which I'll always call Twitter. Homage to the great Scottie Pippen. And then you can check out me, my boy Jesse, and my homie Ace over on Casual Diehards talking basketball. We just had a nice NBA playoff preview, so check us out, Casual Diehard.
James, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time again. Thank you.
You're the man, bro.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow, same time, same place. And when we sit down, we'll be talking NFL draft, plus some more local sports. That's all on tap tomorrow right here on Drive Time Sports. Until then, be safe. I am out.